This message is supported by Boehringer Ingelheim, the maker of NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel Chewable Tablets. Next level dog owners will do anything for their pets, especially when it comes to their well-being. And that means giving them next level protection from parasites with NexGard Plus Chews. NexGard Plus Chews provide one and done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're designed to be easy to give in a tasty, beef-flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventative. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus Chews.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Card I have for you as far as the Hero World Challenge and the NedBank Challenge going on over in South Africa. Charlie is out this Saturday. He is coming back from Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Played in the Puerto Vallarta Pro-Am, 5 days of golf. So we'll look forward to seeing Charlie next Saturday. But I mean, if you are a follower of my Tuesday picks, we are in very good shape at the halfway point as far as the world of golf is concerned. At the Hero, and we'll get to Tiger's quotes. You know, Tiger Woods hosts the Hero. This is his 10th year doing so now. We'll get to Tiger and all of his quotes. He commented on the potential of Americans getting paid to play in the Ryder Cup. He commented on this, you know, annoying wait that the world of golf is waiting for as far as the PGA Tour and the PIF to come to a deal. Tiger commented on a bunch of other things. We'll get to all of that audio. But as far as the Hero World Challenge, world number one, Scottie Scheffler, I mean, back in action, hasn't played a stroke play tournament in 3 months since he won the Tour Championship at Eastlake, and he has just come out firing. I mean, you know, started with an opening round 67 with only one bogey on the card. Yesterday in the second round, shot a 8 under 64 with seven birdies on the front nine. Of course, everyone is wondering how, you know, Scheffler is going to do now that he has switched to the claw putting grip. Everyone said, how do you win eight tournaments? How do you finish the season world number one and then go and change your putting grip? Listen, whatever works for Scotty, he's got a great putting coach on his team in Phil Kenyon. He said the claw grip idea was floated to him at the beginning of last year when he started working for Phil. Scheffler, I understand, eight wins, but you have to understand, had he putted average, had he putted tour average last year, and, you know, you're probably looking somewhere between that 10 to 12 win mark. You know, we covered it a lot last year. Not a lot of players in PGA Tour history have gone to eight wins, but 10 wins is that magic number. He didn't get there. So the quest for more success continues for Scheffler. I have no problem with him switching to the claw grip, and he is dialed in. We have him to win this week at plus 225. We have a number of other props and outrights looking down the Hero World Challenge card. We have Justin Thomas to win at 11-1. He is in a tie for second, two shots behind Scheffler going into the weekend. You know, JT, you know, did not have his best stuff last year on the PGA Tour. That was highly reviewed by the Twitter talking heads and the sports critics. You know, JT, when you look at last year, you know, had a number of close calls. You know, fifth at the Fortinet, third at the American Express, you know, fifth at the RBC. You know, the glaring miss for JT last year is he just wasn't there in the major championships besides the PGA Championship at Valhalla. You know, came up about eight shots short of Schauffele there at Valhalla, finished tied for eighth. Other than that, it was a fairly disappointing season for JT last year. Fell all the way to world number 25. And if you asked him, you know, there's really no reason he should be leaving the top 10 in the world. Last year was the first year in 9 years on tour for JT that he finished outside the top 12 on the FedEx Cup standings. And, you know, there's a ton of JT haters out there. Oh, he's only, you know, only majors he's won is the PGA. He's often referred to as one of the best ball strikers since Tiger Woods, you know, and really, you know, he is really one of the most talented ball strikers since Tiger. I feel that he has gotten a bit of a bad rap here over the last season and a half. When you look back, you know, he didn't win in 23. He did not win in 24. You know, hasn't won since the 2022 PGA. He is in great shape through two rounds. You know, him and his wife welcomed a new baby over the offseason. Baby Molly joined the Thomas Bunch. I feel that's going to give him some wonderful perspective. You look back, you know, when John Rahm first had kids, you know, Scottie Scheffler welcomed Scottie and Meredith welcomed baby Bennett to the Bunch. This year, I think it's going to bring some great perspective to Justin Thomas's game. He is a workhorse. He practices from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And that's always how it's been since his days at Alabama. Gotta love where Justin Thomas is at. Akshay Bhatia was the sleeper this week on the Hero World Challenge card. We have him to top five at plus 350. And he is currently in a share of second with Justin Thomas at 11 under and two shots behind Scheffler. Bhatia has just played brilliant, opened with a round of 67. Yesterday, you know, second round, 66. He's playing great. We'll hear some audio from Bhatia a little bit later on. Really one of the more underlooked players in the field this week. He loves these coastal golf courses that you're seeing in Albany this week at the Bahamas. You look back at some of the numbers and where Bhatia has performed the best, you know, second at the 23 Puerto Rico Open, coastal golf course. Fourth at the 23 Mexico Open, coastal golf course. His first professional win came at the Bahamas Open there on the Corn Ferry Tour back in 2022. Once again, that's a coastal golf course. You know, won the Barracuda, his second PGA. It's funny, both of his wins have not really come at coastal golf courses. Obviously, the first one, Valero Texas Open this year, where we hit Bhatia on a 70-1 ticket. TPC San Antonio, very far from a coastal golf course. Valero was Bhatia's second PGA Tour win. The first came at the Barracuda last year in Lake Tahoe. There is a lot of water featured on that golf course, but very far from what you would consider a coastal golf course. Anyways, Bhatia, you know, in great shape, looking like that top five ticket will cash come tomorrow. We'll see how it goes tomorrow. We'll keep you up to date. You know, Bhatia, one of three Indian origin players in the field this week. You have Sahith Theegala, Aaron Rai, and Akshay Bhatia. That's huge, you know, as far as the world of Indian golf is concerned. Dr. Pawan Mujal, the head of Hero, the company who is the title sponsor of this tournament, he is of Indian origin from India. And him and Tiger talked a ton about this trio of Indian origin golfers on the rise. I mean, Sahith Theegala is a superstar. Akshay Bhatia, as we just talked about, a lefty, you know, that is just unbelievable as far as his ball striking is concerned. And then Aaron Rai, you know, he came up and, you know, came up through the DP World Tour, made the move to the PGA Tour, won at the Wyndham Championship earlier this year. So that is an interesting feature going into the weekend at the Hero. You know, as far as the Nedbank Championship, one of the more underlooked tournaments going on right now, that's the third event of the 2025 DP World Tour season. And how about this? The only ticket I gave out this week for the Nedbank was Aldrich Pott Geider to win at 110-1 odds. And through three rounds, I was up early watching the third round. Of course, it's over in South Africa at the Gary Player Course. So it's going on overnight while America is asleep. Pottinger's in the solo lead at 7-under going into the final round. 110-1 odds. Who else has given that out? No one. Incredible stuff going on at the Gary Player Course. Third round almost complete, but no one's going to. Pott Geider has a three-shot lead going into the final round. So that is looking excellent. It is his to lose. And we'll keep you up to date here on the Ned Bank as the show goes on. I think the major news we start with, you know, Tiger Woods spoke to start the week at the Hero World Challenge. It's the first time we've seen Tiger since Roel Troon at the Open Championship. First and foremost, you know, this tournament, the Hero World Challenge, you know, Hero announced that they will extend the partnership through 2030. Here was Tiger Woods on that.
Well, this is exciting news for for all of us at the foundation to be able to have Hero Motor Corp. They've supported us here for the last 10 years and be able to have this relationship and our partnership continue until 2030 is truly amazing. We're able to help and serve so many more youth because of it. And all the players who have come down here over the years have supported this event. Some of them have started their own foundations because of what the impact that Pawan and I have had on this event and our various charities. So it's an exciting week here to be at Albany and to host this event, to be a part of. I'm not a part of the field. Be watching the field this week, but being host this week is going to be a fun week.
Yeah, and Dr. Pawan Mujal said it wasn't even a question that Hero would re-up their deal with Tiger and the PGA Tour and keep this event on the schedule until at least 2030. You know, there's much to say about, you know, golf's place here in December. You know, our wonderful producer AJ knows the thing. This is football season. You know, this is NFL and college football season. Very tough time for ratings in the world of golf. I think you need the Hero World Challenge there in December to get the top 20, you know, back in the face of the public here one more time before this little break. You know, the 2025 PGA Tour season will start at the Century in January. But I think this is a wonderful event this time of the year. You know, the fall season is behind us where, you know, the top 150 on the PGA Tour have been grinding to keep their PGA Tour cards, especially now that, you know, in 2025, the amount of cards is going to shorten from 125 to 100. Tiger comment on that. We'll get to his audio later. And on the other side, we'll get to Tiger's health. He commented he had another surgery, you know, his sixth back procedure. Since 2004, it was the leg that was bothering him. Now he's having more back issues. Really disastrous time as far as Tiger Woods and his body is concerned. Not sure when the next time we'll see him on the course is. We'll break it down on the other side here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Driven by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Back after this.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
And thanks for joining us on a Saturday morning. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Once again, Charlie going to rejoin us next week, coming back from the Puerto Vallarta Pro-Am down there in Mexico. As far as the Hero World Challenge, world number one, Scottie Scheffler in complete control down there in Albany, Bahamas. Scheffler leading at 13 under after an 8 under 64 yesterday. And then Akshay Bhatia and Justin Thomas in a share of second at 11 under par. Really, I think today this turns into a match play situation between Scheffler and Bhatia and Thomas. And of course, those are the three golfers we picked before the week started. We have Scheffler to win at plus 225. We have Justin Thomas outright at 11 to 1 as our second outright. And then we have Akshay Bhatia to top five at plus 350. Also have a Justin Thomas top five ticket out there at plus 150. So top to bottom, all of our guys are in the top two. Scheffler in the lead, Thomas and Bhatia in a share of second. We also have two matchups out there. We've got Ludvig Åberg going up against Patrick Cantlay. Åberg leading that matchup by one. Åberg's at 7 under. Cantlay is at 6 under. And then we have Sam Burns over Tom Kim at minus 122. Burns down one in that matchup as Tom Kim fired back yesterday. I mean, Tom Kim opens 2 over 74 while Burns opened What did Burns open with a 4-under 68? But there was a huge difference between these two after round one. Burns was taking care of business, and then Tom Kim fired back yesterday with a 65. After seeing Tom Kim and his antics at the President's Cup, I think, with where his game's at and the confusion he's having in his swing alongside Coach Cam McCormick, he seems to be a pretty fairly easy fade option, especially going into the 2025 season. Now, Tom Kim and his, we're going to get to Scheffler here in a second, some of his sound. Tom Kim has been up and down all year. This is a 22-year-old who definitely has a lot of promise. 3 PGA Tour wins already at 22, won the Shriners in Vegas twice, and then won the Wyndham last year. This guy has been mildly inconsistent all year. I mean, look at his last three starts. Missed the cut at the Shriners in Vegas. Second at the Genesis Championship on the DP World Tour. Well, we had him outright. Ended up losing in a playoff to Ben On, and then he missed the cut at the Hong Kong Open in his last start. So, based off the way Sam Burns finished the 2024 season, playing immaculate, almost got a win there at the St. Jude and BMW, I felt like he was a very good pick over Tom Kim this week. So we'll see how that turns out. It's really looking like a clean sweep as far as the hero card. And then as far as the Nedbank Golf Championship over on the DP World Tour, we have our only ticket, in case you missed the first segment, was Aldridge Pottgeiter to win at 110-1. And he is in solo first going into the final round, actually doing a little interview with DP World Tour right now. We'll try to get the audio for that a little bit later on. But Pottgeiter, this guy's dialed in. In case you don't know the name, Pottgeiter played his first season on the Korn Ferry Tour last year, which is like the AAA level for the PGA Tour, in case you're unfamiliar with the world of golf. Pottgeiter, in his first year on the Korn Ferry Tour, finished top 30. So he finished 29th on their money list. So he punched his ticket to the PGA Tour for the 2025 season. Now, in the lead here at the Nedbank Golf Championship, Nedbank Golf Challenge in his home country of South Africa, this is a guy by tomorrow could have full status on not only the PGA Tour but also the DP World Tour if he can go ahead and close this. So we'll stay up to date there. Let's get you some info on world number one Scottie Scheffler. As highly talked about by the Twitter talking heads and the media know-it-alls, world number one Scottie Scheffler switched to the claw grip prior to the start of the action in Albany on Thursday after the first round. Let me give you a couple things, because all the media is basically going, he's in the lead at the Hero. He just switched to the claw grip. His incredible play at the Hero is due to the claw grip. Let me tell you, in the first round, Scottie putted very well yesterday in the second round on his way to a 64. That first round for Scheffler, that first round 67, it was a ball striking clinic. He had a zillion tap ins. He said it in his post round pressers. He is still hitting the ball like Tiger 2000, coming off an incredible 2024. But his good play this week is not a result so far of the claw grip. He lost strokes to the field as far as the strokes gain stats in the first round. So that first round 67 was a ball striking clinic. And then the second round 64, he putted very well. He picked up a shot and a half to the field on the greens, but still the 64, we're going to hear his quotes in a second. Once again, it was a ball striking clinic. A lot more putts could have gone in. Here was Scheffler after round one on the reasoning behind switching to that claw grip.
Yeah, I just think I'm always looking for little ways to improve, and it's something that Phil had mentioned to me last year when we first started working together, and over the last couple of months, it's something that we kind of fiddled around with and figured, this is a good week for me to, kind of try things out. And, I think there's some benefits for me in my putting stroke, the way that
that grip kind of works versus my older grip. And so, you know, doing a little bit of testing this week is how I would describe it.
That's what it seemed like, because you were going back and forth between the two during the round. Can you explain why?
Oh, yeah. The longer putts I did with my old grip, just because it's more about, I just have a better feel for the speed, and I feel like my the closer I get to the hole, that's when I can do more of the other grip, just because I haven't had enough time to totally, I would say, get used to it speed-wise, and my touch from long range has always been pretty good, and that's, you know, something that I probably wouldn't want to change very much.
Yeah, we saw this a couple years ago from Ricky Fowler. He was doing claw from inside 10 feet and then regular grip the rest of the way. You know, I think it's a good change. I think overall I see where Scheffler is coming from, where he's changing it. And Charlie would tell you this if he was in studio too. You know, everyone thinks that you need concrete around your wrist when you're putting. And, you know, of course it is a shoulder motion and you want the upper body engaged. But if you look at Scheffler's short putts with the regular grip, he's got a tough time letting that club head flow behind the hands on the backstroke of the putter, and it really tenses up and messes up his rhythm. So, you know, working to the going to the claw is going to allow that putter club head to kind of lead the way in the backswing. You want a little bit of a groove in your wrist. You don't want cement wrist when you're putting. Charlie would tell you the same thing. So I think this is a very positive change for Scheffler and his great putting coach, Phil Kenyon. You know, he talked after the round yesterday. You know, second round 64, it could have been better. You know, he birdied seven of the first nine holes and then made one birdie coming in. The putting on the back nine was not great for Scheffler yesterday. And once again, we're talking about the leader. We're talking about world number one coming off eight wins. We are getting very picky now when it comes to dissecting Scottie Scheffler's game. But I'm just telling you, the reason that he is dominating this week, once again, starting the week 67-64, is still credit to his ball striking and his iron play. Still has ways to go with the putting. Now, how did Scheffler remain so sharp and remain the best ball striker on the planet over this break? Once again, hasn't played a stroke play event in 3 months since the Tour Championship. Let's hear how he's doing it.
It's hard to tell. I mean, I try to work hard in the off season on my body to make sure it doesn't get too out of whack, to where when I come back, my swing doesn't change too much. There's always a little bit of maintenance there that I need to take care of, and I feel like I'm still taking care of a little bit of that maintenance, and hopefully, you know, over the next couple weeks and going into the start of the season, things will continue to clean up.
You know, and I think Scheffler, you know, once again, absolute lock to capture his third straight Jack Nicklaus Player of the Year award. That's going to be handed out in a couple weeks. I think Scheffler is a lock for that award. We talked highly about it the last 2 weeks. Obviously, Xander Schauffele had an incredible year, you know, winning the PGA Championship at Valhalla and winning the Open Championship at Royal Troon. I mentioned this last week, but you look back at the history and since, you know, the PGA Tour started the Player of the Year award in 1990, and every year that a player has won two majors, they have gone on to win the Player of the Year award. This year is going to be an exception because, you know, Schauffele's two majors just don't beat Scheffler's eight wins. You know, Scheffler has a jacket this year. He's got the Players' Championship this year. He's got an Olympic gold medal this year. It's just too much on the resume for Schauffele to go and take that from. Scheffler won the Tour Championship, end of the year money list. It's just too much for Schauffele to beat, even though he had a record season. And, you know, yeah, every year since 1990, the player who has won two majors in a year has gone on to win Player of the Year award, except Nick Faldo in 1990, only because he was not a member of the PGA Tour that year. Looking forward at the 2025 major championship schedule, I think Scheffler's going to have a great chance to win a couple majors this year. So far, just two majors for Scheffler, you know, two green jackets. No one's going to complain about that. He'll be defending His green jacket at Augusta, April 7th through the 13th. The PGA Championship this year will be at Quail Hollow in the second week of May in Charlotte, North Carolina, where Xander Schauffele will be defending. We talked about Justin Thomas and the way he's contending at the Hero World Challenge, two shots back going into the weekend. With the PGA going to Quail Hollow this year, remember, the last time the PGA was at Quail Hollow was 2017. Justin Thomas got the job done in a playoff over wasn't a playoff. He won outright on the 72nd hole. I was thinking of Southern Hills for Justin Thomas's second major, where Mito Pereira collapsed on the 72nd hole, and JT got the job done in a playoff over Will Zalatoris. But the PGA will return to Quail Hollow this year. Remember, the Wells Fargo is usually played at Quail Hollow every year. But since the PGA is hosting at Quail Hollow this year, second week of May, the Wells Fargo Championship will take it up to Philadelphia at Philadelphia Cricket Club. That's going to be a pure show. Little Northeast golf for you there during the season. The PGA Tour has a tough time getting to the Northeast. So that will be the PGA. I think Scheffler will have a golden opportunity to win at Quail Hollow. The U.S. Open will take place June 9th to the 15th back at Oakmont Country Club up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Bryson DeChambeau will be defending. We had him, we in our futures picks for the 2024 majors, we had Bryson DeChambeau to win the U.S. Open at 35-1. That cash there at Pinehurst as Rory McIlroy just completely threw up all over himself down the stretch at the U.S. Open this year. You remember the last time the U.S. Open was held at Oakmont in 2016, Dustin Johnson captured his first major. I don't know about Scheffler at Oakmont. Extremely tricky and fast greens there. So we'll break that down when we get to the futures. And then the Open Championship this year will be at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland, second week of July. The last time the Open was there in 2019, Shane Lowry got the job done. And then in the last major of 2024, the Open last year, it was Xander Schauffele capturing his second major. So a lot to look forward to with the 2025 Major Championship season. We got to take a quick break here. On the other side, we will hear a lot of Tiger's presser. We're going to hear Tiger comment on Ryder Cup payment. We will hear Tiger comment on the PGA Tour versus the PIF. And we will also hear Tiger comment on the PGA Tour reducing field sizes and reducing the number of PGA Tour cards starting in 2025. Just an absurd, god-awful change for the PGA Tour. We're going to hear from Tiger on the other side here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and Charlie Epps.
All right, before we hear from the big cat, Tiger Woods, I got a message for business owners. Have you ever felt like the walls are closing in, that the obstacles to growing your business are overwhelming? We all know running a business comes with pressure, remote workforces, HR compliance, keeping your top employees happy. There's no wonder that you start to feel boxed in, but you don't have to do it alone. Fortunately, there is Insperity. They put 30-plus years of experience to work helping you with your human resources, from hiring and training to HR admin and compliance. Add in competitive benefit options for your employees, and you've expanded your HR capabilities. With Insperity lightening your HR load, you can focus on growing your business surrounded by employees who are empowered to be their best. Don't let the obstacles keep you from realizing your full potential. Get the relief you need from an HR company that puts you and your employees on a path to success, because with Insperity, nothing is impossible. Once again, that is Insperity.com for the best possible HR company to come help out with your business. We now move to Tiger and his press conference at the beginning of the week. We haven't heard from Tiger since the Open Championship at Royal Troon, and we got first and foremost, some news on his health and, you know, the amount of surgeries that he's had. You know, I think 7 back surgeries since 2004, with the last one coming here in the last 6 months. Let's hear from Tiger and a little update on his health. We'll get to Tiger.
Is that still the goal, or have you had to sort of recalibrate?
Well, I didn't think my back was going to go like it did this year. It was quite painful throughout the end of the year, and hence had another procedure done to it to alleviate the pain I had going down my leg. And so what are my commitments going forward? Is it once a month? Yeah, I could say that all over again, but I truly don't know. I'm just trying to rehab and still get stronger and better, and feel better and really give myself the best chance I can going to next year. You know, this year was kind of had to toss it away, and I wasn't as sharp as I needed to be and didn't play as much as I needed to going to the major championships, and I didn't play well at them. So, hopefully next year I'll be better. I'll be physically stronger and better. I know the procedure helped, and, hopefully that I can then build upon that.
Well, a long road ahead for the big cat, and I'm not a doubter. I think he can get healthy and play the 4 majors a year and hopefully play a couple signature events. You know, it hasn't been the leg, but you know, obviously, you know, his decline in production has been because of the back and leg. But when we watch Tiger play, you know, right now and at the 4 majors, it's not the ball striking, it's not the putting, it's not the driving. It is the 72-hole walk that is crushing Tiger and his chances to win. Obviously, 48 years old and 11 months, he is almost a year away from turning 50 and having the ability to join the Champions Tour. You know, we'll see. The Champions Tour is really a disaster right now when you look at the talent they have out there. You know, obviously, you know, a lot of the older vets that could be making a spark on the Champions Tour, Phil Mickelson, Lee Westwood, a number of other older, Henrik Stenson's probably approaching 50. There's just not been that much turnover from the PGA Tour to the Champions Tour as far as the best players in the world are concerned. 5 years ago, you know, what we were hoping for was that Phil and Tiger would be playing on the Champions Tour together. Phil would be in the booth for CBS, and people think I'm crazy with this one, but I thought there was a good chance Tiger may join the booth with NBC Sports. Now, NBC doesn't have the Masters, and, you know, Tiger's won the Masters 5 times. He was never really in the conversation for CBS. Phil Mickelson was the name that was going to go join Jim Nantz after Nick Faldo was done. Phil goes to LIV. CBS doesn't want him. Champions Tour doesn't want him. So, basically, the Champions Tour hasn't had any turnover of talent in the last 5 years. I mean, I think, what, this year, Zach Johnson and Jason Duffner are going to go join the... I don't think Jason's 50 yet. But anyway, last year was Heath Slocum and Boo Weekly. So those are names that just can't carry the tour. You rewind 25, 30 years ago when Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player were playing the Champions Tour, and you know, they had premier coverage on ESPN. I think, you know, when Tiger joins the Champions Tour, the Champions Tour will have a spot on ESPN, because you look at this TGL league. It's an indoor golf league that Tiger and Rory have started up. They started up this tour, and ESPN gave them primetime coverage on Tuesday night starting in January. So, you know, Tiger a year away from that, but you look at the overall picture, you know, this past year, you know, he went, let's see, at the majors this year, he went 60th at the Masters, missed cut at the PGA, missed cut at the U.S. Open, and missed cut at the Open. So hearing, you know, about what Tiger had to say about his health, I think it's safe to say I'm not sure we're going to get Tiger in 2025. We'll see. but another back surgery to kind of alleviate some pain, not only in the back, but the leg, a long way to go for Tiger. He spoke on a couple different topics, starting with this Ryder Cup payment deal where, you know, there's been some murmurs that Team USA, each player of the 12-man Team USA for the Ryder Cup, will get $200,000 apiece. Here was Tiger's comment on that.
Well, I would have to say that going back to my playing days, we had the same conversation back in 99, and it was we didn't want to get paid. We wanted to give more money to charity. And the media turned it around us against us and said, we want to get paid. It's no. I mean, the Ryder Cup itself makes so much money. Why can't we allocate it to various charities? And what's wrong with each player, 12 players, getting $1 million and you'd be able to deep it out to amazing charities that they're involved in, that they can help out. It's their hometowns or where they're from, all the different junior golf associations or endeavors that the members are involved in. It's never really bent about getting paid. Is how can we allocate funds to be able to help our sport or help things that we believe in back home? Because it's so hard to get onto that team. There's only 12 guys. What's wrong with being able to allocate more funds?
So do you think, again, now the issue is one of messaging, that the players should make it clear whatever money they get will go to charity?
I hope they get $5 million each and donate all the charity, different charities, okay? Right. I think it's great. What's wrong with that?
So this is what was unclear about Tiger's answer in the presser was, are they going to give the players $200,000 or whatever it might be, and it's their choice what to do with it, and Tiger is hoping that they donate it all to charity? You know, there was some unclarity there. Remember, Ryder Cup, there's never been a time where players are getting paid. There was some conversations about it in 99 at Brookline. It didn't happen. Obviously, there's a large portion of the money that goes to charities that the PGA of America support, and there is a large portion of money that goes to charities that the RNA on the European side support. Robert McIntyre spoke on what the Ryder Cup meant to Team Europe and the European players, because basically these rumors are starting somewhere. I believe they're starting from Patrick Cantlay. He took the hat off at the last Ryder Cup, signaling, you know, a little bit of a revolt against PGA of America. We know, you know, Xander and Patrick, they know how much money the tour makes on all this. You know, Patrick, one of the smarter players on the PGA Tour, you know, but the Ryder Cup has always been to benefit charities and PGA of America and the RNA. Here was Robert McIntyre, a European standout with two PGA Tour wins on the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, it's obviously different. It's different. Obviously play for a different reason. I grew up watching Ryder Cups and watching Main Sevi at the end and just watching all the guys that have come before me playing for each other, playing for the badge. I mean, we had some special things going on in that team, in the team room, in the locker room. Things that were above money, to be honest with you. It was all pride and I mean, everyone's been open and you'll see it coming out soon that we had a Seve's last worn shirt in our locker, in our locker room, and you could go in there and you see it and it just gave you goosebumps. And we obviously had Jose Maria in the team, and I mean, we got told what the Ryder Cup was about, and for Team Europe it's far more than money.
And this is why I picked Team Europe at the last Ryder Cup. Their priorities are to win this cup and to bring it back to Europe and to keep it there. While the United States, yeah, they like the trophy, but they're more concerned about the money and, you know, Patrick Cantlay and the rest of them taking their hats off and sending a bit of a message to the suits at PGA of America. Listen, I want to see the numbers about how much money is coming in. I'm not completely ruling out that, you know, that there's not enough for these guys to get. Obviously, there's plenty for these guys to get paid. It is an honor, and golfers at the moment are getting paid a lot. I don't want to put any restrictions on that. I want to see the athlete get paid as much as possible. But, I mean, you look at, there's guaranteed money on the PGA Tour now. There's guaranteed money on almost every tour. The PGA Tour subsidizes guaranteed money for the DP World Tour. So there is a lot of money going around in the world of golf. We'll have to stay up to date as far as what's going to happen in the Ryder Cup and the payment. We got to take a quick break. I want to get on the other side. We're going to take your calls. I want to get to one more statement from Tiger. He gives us a little update on the PGA Tour and the PIF and when that deal is going to come to a close. This is Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity. Your calls are next.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Here we go now. One more segment here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. My Insperity HR that makes a difference. We'll get to your calls in a second. 713-780-3776 is the number. One more thing as far as Tiger and his comments at the start of the week is concerned. I think this is very important. Tiger made a comment on, you know, we hear from Jay Monahan, PGA Tour Commissioner. We hear from Yasser Al-Rumayyan, the governor of the PIF. We hear from Rory every week. Oh, we're close. The PGA Tour and the PIF is going to come to a deal. All this is going to end. And for the last 2 years, nothing has happened. Let's hear what Tiger has to say on that.
Well, I think that all of us who have been a part of this process would have thought that it would have happened quicker than this. And even if it did, we're still at the regulations of the DOJ saying it's giving us ominous that it'll go through. So even if we had gotten a deal done by now, it is still in the DOJ's hands. But what we wish we would have had something more concrete and further along than we are right now. But things are very fluid. We're still working through it. It's happening daily from a policy board standpoint or from an enterprise standpoint. Things are moving, and they're constructive. But, yes, definitely moving.
Let me give you my thoughts on this. What I think the disagreement is on is that the PGA Tour, basically, I think they'd be willing to give LIV Golf the fall season while the NFL and college football is going on and no one's watching. I think that's where the PGA Tour wants LIV to go. And I think LIV is basically saying, No. We want weeks in the spring. We have our own. They have their own schedule going on right now. They're in year three. They've been in the spring. Once again, no one's watching them on the CW network or wherever LIV Golf is being shown on their app. No one's watching. So Yasser Al-Rumayyan is probably sitting there going, if we're going to do some kind of deal with the PGA Tour, we have to be in the spring. And we got murmurs last week that the DP World Tour is trying to sneak around and do a deal with LIV Golf to where LIV Golf would have places on the DP World Tour schedule in the spring, in the prime season. Once again, just rumors. I don't think that scenario is going to happen because the PGA Tour subsidizes the DP World Tour purses. The DP World Tour would be out of business without the PGA Tour. Now, LIV Golf and the Saudis could come in and totally reform that tour and make it into more of a world tour than it already is. Here's the bottom line. Here in the States, you know, a lot of people have Aldrich Pot Guider at 110-1 at the Ned Bank because we gave it out on Tuesday. The average sports fan, the average golf fan, they're not staying up all night to watch the Ned Bank. They're just not. So you put LIV on the European Tour schedule, you're not going to get the American viewership. That is the bottom line. That is the bottom line. Tiger also commented on field reduction sizes and the reduction of PGA Tour cards from 125 to 100. Let me summarize that for you. Tiger is obviously in the thought that, you know, there could be a few too many jobs out there on the PGA Tour. I think, you know, when you look at these changes, it is a disgrace to the 2,000 professional golfers who are capable of being on the PGA Tour. The PGA Tour is going to reduce field sizes. They're going to cut out Monday qualifiers. A lot of questionable things that are going to start in 2025 that Tiger how to vote on. And you know, I didn't think Tiger would be a player who would want to reduce the PGA Tour, but LIV has forced the PGA Tour's hand because the PGA Tour can't give out nearly as much prize money as LIV Golf unless they seriously reduce the number of PGA Tour cards. Once again, it is a disservice to members on the Korn Ferry Tour. It is a disservice to the guys grinding it out on the mini tours and the barbecue tour and the all-pro tour. But that is just the world we live in. That is what the Saudis have forced out of the PGA Tour. Let's get to your call, 713-780-3776. I want to hear your thoughts about the Hero World Challenge leaderboard. I want to hear your thoughts as far as the world of golf. Let's get Timmy from Pensacola in here. Timmy, what's on your mind? Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Doc. Just a lot of golf on my mind.
Timmy time! Let's roll, my friend. Let's roll. What a couple of cards we have as far as the Hero and the Ned Bank. Were you up all night watching the Ned Bank?
Oh, I woke up probably about set alarm about 3:45, and I was able to watch pretty much watch the majority of it. And what a moving day we saw! I think this couldn't have been a more perfect third round if you have Pot and Guider outright this week.
Yep.
As he shot
6 under 66 there.
66. Yeah. So he set himself up with a 3-shot lead heading into Sunday, which, as people might have known, we have had some horrible luck when it comes to having an outright with the lead on Sunday. But, Will, how do you think he handles it come tomorrow? Do you think he handles the nerves with the home support? Do you think the crowd, him being on home soil, helps him with the nerves? How do you think tomorrow unfolds?
Oh, no, it's a great question, Timmy, because I think a lot of people are sitting here looking at the sports book and saying, you know, Pot Guider has a 3-shot lead, but, you know, that now opens up some incredible odds as far as Matthew Jordan is concerned at 8-1. I don't think he'll do anything, but you've got Francesco Laporta there at plus 850. You've got Max Homa a couple shots behind at plus 8. At plus 850, home is 4 shots behind. Christian Bezuidenhout is down there. You know, Bezuidenhout is he's a long way back. He's 5 shots back and 18-1 going to the final round. I think Pot Guider handles the business, Tim. Here's a guy who is fresh off his first Korn Ferry Tour season, where, you know, he won the first event of the season. He played well enough all year to stay inside that top 30 and earn his PGA Tour card for 2025. I think he's got the chops to get it done at the big moment, as we saw today. You know what? Pot Guider wasn't even on. We had him outright. Wasn't even on our minds in the first two rounds. Pot Guider started with a 1-over round of 73, a 2-under round of 72, and then just stormed ahead here in the third round, 6-under 66. So he's in the lead. Timmy, I think you stick with Pot Guider. I think he gets it done tomorrow. Let's get to this Hero. Let's get to some conversation on the Hero World Challenge. How are we looking at the Hero, Timmy?
Wow. Well, what we talked about after round one was that we did not know until last minute that Scottie Scheffler had changed his putting grip and he had gone with the claw. And after round one, we had talked about it and said he had found his stroke heading into the latter half of last season when he started working with his new putting coach and really became one of the better putters on the entire tour. So you would have thought, well, why make a change, as we saw with Hovland last year, trying to get better, try to fix something that's not broken? Well, we were like, well, let's see how this holds up. And then Scotty sure does shut us up as he makes 7 birdies in his first 9 holes. I'm pretty sure the claw is working so far.
No, it is working, Tim. I mean, the ball striking numbers are still out of control. You know, a lot of these birdies are coming from him sticking it to inside 3 feet. And then basically, I mean, he's having tap-ins out there. You know, that's how good he's striking the ball. I think there is a ton of positives with the claw as far as his club head working back smoother on those shorter putts. I think that works better with the claw. You know, he still hasn't come around to it as far as the lag putting is concerned, still working with the normal grip as far as the lag putting. But I think a lot of people, you know, are kind of looking at the hero odds. You know, you really, Tim, I think it's really a match play situation between Scheffler, Thomas, and Bhatia going into the weekend. You know, Thomas is 5-1 going into the weekend. Bhatia is 11-1. Let's hear what Akshay Bhatia, one of the only players to have played in the last couple of weeks going into the year. Let's hear what Bhatia had to say after round two.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I didn't play at all really in the offseason other than the Dunlop Phoenix in Japan. And so, like I said, just getting the nerves and seeing how everything feels under pressure is important before the season starts, and kind of knowing what I can, you know, work on towards the start of Century. So, yeah, it's a pretty different feeling for me. I've just never had an off season, and so it was just a weird feeling because I've never played great after taking a couple weeks off during the season. So I was really happy that I played well at Dunlop and obviously playing pretty nice here.
You mentioned you put a new driver in the bag. Was that today or this week?
This week.
Yeah.
You can color me obsessed with Akshay Bhatia. We have this guy to top five this week at plus 350. Remember earlier in the year we hit his 70-1 outright at the Valero Texas Open. I think he's going to have a great chance to hold on and stay in the top five at the Hero. You know, we have Justin. Here's the Hero card right now. We have Scheffler to win. You know, he's got a two-shot cushion at plus 255. Just in case Scheffler collapses, we've got the JT outright at 11-1. He's two shots back. We also have a JT top five ticket at plus 150. And then we've got Akshay to top five at plus 350. Once again, coastal golf course aficionado. He's having his way down there in Albany. Great to be with you on a Saturday morning. Thank you, AJ, behind the ones and twos. We'll see you next Saturday here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour by Insperity.